That ain't BDS. That ain't video. NHWRO Richmond, is this the new antenna or are you mobile? Morning. No, that was my truck in the driveway in the Romeo. I switched to Richmond. It's probably better now. Yeah, the other wasn't bad. It's just I was just curious. I heard you got a project completed yesterday, apparently. I did. I got my Diamond V2000 about 30 feet up in the air, and that made a tremendous difference. I was on a 2-meter sideband net last night talking to people. They were about 50 miles away. They were in Ontario, and then all the local people, obviously. So super happy with how it turned out. That is excellent. That's the same plans I had, but literally now it looks like I'm not going to get to that before the snow flies because, well, it's snowing. You said you have the same antenna? You just haven't got it up yet? No, negative. I don't have it yet. I don't know if I'm going to go with that model, but, you know, I only have the short X30 diamond vertical. So I definitely want to go up probably beyond the 50. I think you had the 50 at one point, right? In my limited experience with this antenna so far, hindsight, I'm not disappointed with my decision. It was a good deal, $170. The gain's tremendous. It's 8 feet tall. Like, there's no complaints other than for the same money I could have got a dual bander that was like 14 feet tall. Now, I don't know how much that would help or if it would be any different, but just in the brief testing with 6 meters, that's the whole reason I got this, was to have a 6-meter vertical out there. Not super impressed with it, but I never really worked 6 meters, so I can say I had it. But previously, I had an X50 at my old house. That thing was phenomenal. It was up probably about the same 30 feet. It was a bungalow on a chimney. And no complaints with that thing. I could get into all kinds of repeaters. And then before this one, I had a Comet GP3 that I sold to my neighbor, Ham, KTMR. He's got that now, and he's having a blast with it. So it depends. If you want to do 6 meters, yeah. If you don't really care, I would just say get a bigger dual bander. Yeah, it's going to be my intention. I just haven't settled. I'll settle. I want a diamond because I've had good luck with them. I just don't know exactly which model, but definitely a dual bander. And it's for. I'm only like 7 blocks away from the Richmond repeater, so it's not for 7.2 or FBI. Really, it's for other contacts beyond that, of course. And naturally, I want to get it up on the top roof, which puts it up about 2.5 stories, if not taller than that, depending on what kind of mast I have. But, yeah, I'm talking about a dual bander in my case.
I would be looking at, like, a Diamond X200 then or something along those lines, just a big, tall dual bander, tons of gain, and
I think it was as well. I've had great luck with Diamonds, too, is that GP3 I had was the first Comet base station I purchased, but no complaints, worked great. Still working great. I was going to get the Comet G215, which is the equivalent of this Diamond V2000 I had. Pretty much same height, same game, 6 meters. But this was like $30 or $40 cheaper, so I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to get a Diamond. And I've always had great luck with Diamonds, too. Every HD I have has a Diamond HD, I've had on it.
Now, on that Diamond 200, do you know, is that a three-segment antenna or a two-segment? I think it's three.
I believe it is a three-section, yeah. I think once you start getting outside of the 8 to 10-foot antennas, they break them up into three sections, which, yeah, I like the idea of the least amount of pieces, right, for longevity and durability, but I saw how this one's constructed at two-piece, and it's pretty damn solid, and then I used self-alginating tape and then some Super 88 electrical tape around the connection point of the two pieces, and I don't think I'm going to have to worry about it.
Yeah, when I do it, I'm going to have to do a, shall we say, robust install like that, weather friendly install, because once I get it up there, it's, you know, there's really no way getting back up there, you know, until I get somebody else to do it. So maintenance is, I want maintenance to be like, you know, as far in between as possible, I guess, something like that. But, yeah, it sounds good.
Nope, I hear you. I don't want to go back up there either. Mine's up on a Rhone 9H50, which I had this wrong idea in my head of it's a telescopic mast. You know, I can raise it and lower it to work on it, but I also have to go up 20 feet on a ladder to disconnect the bracket, the top bracket, and then another 11 feet for the bottom bracket. So it's not like a POTA mast where it's up and down at my leisure. It's kind of, it's convenient to install, but it's not convenient to maintain. So I actually have more coax coming today, and I still haven't installed the lightning arrestor, and I'm just debating. I'm obviously not doing it today, but I'm just debating if I even want to go any higher, because I've got about another 4 feet left in that mast, but I'm like, this is already way up here and clearing my roof line. I don't know that I really need more, nor do I want to go any higher on a ladder.
So on your coax, I just lately I go with ready-built, factory-built connectors at the end just to make sure, you know, good quality companies. But are you putting your own connectors on the end? Are you just buying your coax by the foot?
Yeah, I would recommend it too. If you learn how to do it, it saves you a ton of money. For example, I have a 55-foot run of LMR 400 times microwave that I terminated myself. It was $1.50 a foot, so, you know, not that much money in the grand scheme of things. I ordered a complete piece, a 15-foot basically patch cable, to give me that extra distance and then put that lightning arrestor in line without having to cut the end off of my other cable and splice in two more. That was $69, so it's way cheaper to make your own cable. And then my RG8X that I have running out the back, too, that's actually going to pick up a tuner from 88OD right now, so I can use my 705 with my antenna, but I've got RG8X that I put out there, too. If you can stomach the cost of the tools up front and then learn how to do it, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, there's one, you probably saw it in the task book, there's one task to attach a PL-259. I did okay on that, but geez, I don't know if I'd want my connection all the way up at the top side. That's not going to be seen again for 2 years. But, you know, you're right. Practice, get it right, test it, make sure it's right, then weatherize it, and that would be the better way. Silly question on the cable, color of the jacket. Do they have, in bulk like that, do they have a white jacket?
Yeah, fortunately, I had enough practice installing my mobile setup, and then I did another mobile setup for KTMR. So I had plenty of terminations in before it got hoisted up 30 feet. And I'm sure they do. I don't believe DXE carries it, but I know that there's plenty of white coax out there. Worst case scenario, you're jumping into something like a Messi and Polonin or ADR Industries, and you're going to spend a little bit more, but if you got to have white, I know it's out there.
Yeah, that was my thought because, you know, white siding, of course, and some of the run is going to be along the siding, just no way to get around that. So it would look better. All right, so you're going to go see John and tell John Tim said hi. Appreciate the information, Dakota. You have a good morning. NAWRO, after you, sir.
Not a problem. And if you need help or if you want to borrow my tools, I've got the crimper. I got the dies for RG8X and RG8U, which is also the same diameter as LMR 400. So I have the crimper for it. I don't have the splicer. That's another thing, or the stripper, I should say. If you want to make sure it's perfect, that's the only thing you got to get right is the splicing or the stripping, in my opinion. That's the hardest part. And they make these things at BXE that are like sleeves with blades in it set at the right depths and distances for the ends. So you basically clamp that on the end, twist it, pull it off, and it's stripped ready to go. I just haven't forked out the cash for it. I think they're $40 to $50 for each different wire type. But if you're going to be doing a couple of them, it's probably worth the investment. And I will be sure to tell John you said hello, and I will hopefully be playing some HF for the next couple hours here. So. If you got any questions or need any help with anything, feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Thanks again. Appreciate it. NAWRO.
NAWDF.
Never stop, Dakota.
I can't help it, man.
So how am I making it into Warren from Macomb here?
Full quieting. You sound like you're on a node.
Yeah, see, I don't get it why we can't hit each other. I don't know. It's funny. There's that big hill in Almont. You think it's that park?
I can almost say without a doubt, because that's the hill that I climbed up with my Kenwood and that N9TAX or whatever it is, J-pole, or roll-up, what the hell is that called? Slim Jim antenna. So I threw that thing up in a tree on the top of that hill, and I could get into Richmond, Mount Clemens, Romeo, open Warren. Obviously, I couldn't talk to Warren, but I could literally open the repeater and hear it clear as day, so I'm pretty sure that's the hill. It's got to be. And if you look at the map, it's kind of in line with our stations.
KF Ada. Yeah. It's just weird because everybody else hears you fine. Everybody hears me fine. I hear everybody else fine, but we can't hear each other. It's weird. So, well, it is what it is. Either I gotta move or you gotta move.
Maybe I do need that extra 4 foot of elevation on my mast.
Yeah, I don't think that'll matter too much. I mean, maybe. But, and I can't go any higher, obviously, because it's in the attic. I think maybe when the leaves fall, because there's still a lot of leaves to the trees in that direction, so maybe when those fall, it'll be a little bit better, but I don't think 2 meter is affected by the leaves like 70 centimeter would be.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, the weird thing, though, is I could hear you. I could hear you fine. Like, clarity was totally there. You were just so low that I feel like if it was an obstruction, it would be super static, and I wouldn't hear you at all. But for you to be that clean, just a super low signal, I don't know, maybe you just need more juice. I mean, for example, when I had my antenna in the attic and I was running this setup, right, like it worked, but like similar to what I heard from you, like they could hear me, but not super great. Same with Greg. I got my antenna outside, same power or less, and it was full quieting. So it probably is something as simple as that, which I know you're you're confined to those limitations, and it's a bummer, but it is what it is. So it seriously could be that. And maybe one day next spring or something, put a 2-meter vertical on top of a mast, and let's see what happens.
Well, what I might do is I might take the radio in the car, put it on a Comet 2x4, and drive down the road and see if I hear you better. Because that would tell me if it's the obstruction, if we change the angle.
Yeah, we can do that too. Let me know if and when you're going out, and I can jump on the radio. Yeah, maybe just go somewhere where there's a semi-clear line of sight, like an open parking lot or something, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I know of a spot it's 2 miles to the north. That would be fine, but I just think if I drove down the road a little bit, I don't want to go too far from my house because I want to kind of simulate it being in the general area, so maybe I'll go to the north of my subdivision where they haven't built yet and try from there, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm not going to do anything now. It's snowing. You're not home anyways, so... where are you guys meeting? Are you guys meeting at a halfway point?
I am so glad I got everything done yesterday. The rest of it's probably going to wait till the spring. But I knew that I was not going to be getting on ladders today, so I'm glad that's done. And now I'm just driving to his house.
Yeah, you'll like the tuner. I think that's the same one Professor Don had. I don't know if it is Professor Don's tuner, but it's... maybe it's a similar one. No, but he had a manual tuner, if I remember correctly.
That's correct. I remember him telling me how he liked it more because it would tune better. He could do it quicker. But John said it's brand new, so I'm not worried about it. It's going to fill a void until I get that Zygu amp, which I really don't want to spend money on, but we'll see. I don't do a lot of HF.
Well, they make smaller amps, too. I bought a 50-watt amp, and it works pretty good. And I was going to use that for my portable work. And I might hook that back up downstairs so that I can leave the 705 downstairs. I can connect to it remotely. Because that's where my antenna is for my HF, is in my office. And then... lately, I've been playing UHF, VHF upstairs, because that's where the attic connection is.
I'm sure 50 watts would probably be sufficient. I mean, even when I run 891 or 857, I'm doing HF, it's only on 50 watts. I don't really feel the need to run 100. I just know that 2RP is going to be a struggle. 10 watts isn't going to do anything crazy for me. So I know I need that and a tuner, but it's if I'm going to have that plus a tuner, I might as well just get the Zygu. Because I'm going to put my Chameleon back out there, which is that 60-foot 5-to-1 that I honestly really, really like. And now I don't have to buy another antenna, so that's a plus. It's already, so it's a permanent install antenna.
Yeah, just watch for sales, with it being Black Friday-ish time of the year. They may put that Zygu amp on sale. Radiodity sometimes does. And if you're just going to use it as a base for the base, then that thing's great for that. But when you bring it, if you want to bring it portable, it's going to be a little, it adds weight or it adds more to your kit.
No, I know that's a challenging amp. No, it's going to sit on my desk, so that'll be perfect. Running need a bigger power supply here pretty soon. I got that amp. I'm going to get the Zygu amp. Keep my 705 plugged in charging. All kinds of crap. But if I need more power, I'm going to bring that 857, which I have set up exactly how I wanted it. So it's super, super lightweight and slim compared to how I used to have it. So everything I need is in one bag, including a 10 amp hour battery, a mast, an NFED half wave, a throw bag, a steak for the mast, so everything's set on that. And 705 will be like, I take it out for, conditions are good, screw around, activation, nothing serious, because I know I'm going to get frustrated with 10-1.
KFAS. Yeah, what was I going to say? I know you'll be surprised what you can do with 10 watts. Sometimes it's more fun to try to get stuff with 10 watts, but yeah, I found like the sweet spot. At least when if I'm doing FT8, I want at least like 20 watts. And then if you're doing, you know, voice, you can just crank it up all the way because it's variable, you know, the power drain. But yeah, I mean that's why I like this. You know, I spent the money on this FTX1 just because I can choose, like, three different options, right? But, oh, man, there's so many bugs with this thing. I can't recommend this to people. For my use, it's fine, but I would not recommend somebody new buying one of these FTX1s. There's just so many things that they got to fix still.
10 ADBF. After your initial analysis and complaints, I already had my heart set on the 705, but you gave me the affirmation I needed to be like, yep, I'm not going to have FOMO for not getting that. I think the theory and the concept is unlike anything else. It's awesome. I don't care for how much proprietary stuff there is, but that's kind of the way of the game. But, yeah, I'm glad I went with the 705 for those little quirks that you're dealing with, because I know it would piss me off, because I already have a bad taste of Yaesu in my mouth.
WIADX. Go ahead, WIADX.
It's an old thing with Yaesu. They dump radios on the market that are not complete. They have to be re-engineered in the field. Way back, I mean, if you take a look at some of the old radios that first came out, the 757GX, it was a solid-state radio, small, could be used as a mobile, nice radio. I had one. Everybody that bought one back then, and I'm going back 35 years or so, 40 years maybe, and everybody that bought one had a problem with it, had to send it back in. I never had a problem with mine because at the time I was a novice tech. I was only using the CW portion of the radio. But as soon as I got my general and got on the radio, boom. Same problem that everybody else had happened to me, and my radio was out of warranty. But Yaesu covered it because when I told them I was using it mainly for CW, there was a diode problem. And then they had a couple other fixes along the way. They also upgraded the radio for me, and when I got it back, it was working fine, and it worked right up until the day I sold it to someone else. And they're still using it as far as I know. Yaesu does that a lot. They'll dump a radio on the market, and then it ended up having to go back in for multiple upgrades.
Yep, they did that with the 991 and the 991A, too, blowing finals.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think in this case here, what I've got, everything can be fixed in software. It's the software side that's buggy. Like, they don't have the Wires X mode. You know, it's a shack-in-a-box type radio. They don't have Wires X, and that's... They initially promised it in August, and now they're saying it's coming in the December update. So the December update is going to have Wires X, and that's just the button, you know, just pressing the button and being able to navigate the repeaters or whatever, your hotspot. But it works with Fusion right now. You know, you can talk on Fusion right now. You just can't steer nodes, so... You know, and that's trivial. I mean, a lot of these problems that I'm saying are pretty trivial, because it's like you can still operate the radio, you can still use it. It's just the software. They they didn't complete it. They just, you know, like you were saying, they rushed it to market.
Well, I had also heard from other hands that the FT1X did not have such a great receiver. They really hype it up because of its portability and all that stuff, just like the 705, but the 705 doesn't have that problem. If I had my druthers, I will most likely go with a 705 or a 7100. Currently speaking, for all the digital codecs that are out there, D-Star is the only one that can go from zero to light. I mean, all the bands, all the ham bands are capable of operating D-Star. Fusion, you're stuck with 2 meter and 70 centimeter. 8.5, 2 meter and 70 centimeter. Not allowed anywhere else. Oh, excuse me, I take it back. It's also available at 900. But nobody makes a 900 radio except for Motorola. And you'd have to add that codec yourself. But and I'm on 900. I got a 900 repeater, but it's analog FM. And don't think that it's all proprietary, because, granted, ICOM has the D-Star, but so does Kenwood. And Kenwood's got 220 D-Star.
I did not know that D-Star was an all-band mode. I'm going to have to experiment with that. And, yeah, I've got a Kenwood. Dave's got a Kenwood THD-75s. I think those are the best amateur HDs on the market, but I don't have a whole lot of use for an HD, unfortunately, where I'm at. But yeah, I know Yamashita's got a reputation. They do stuff all the time. They discontinue radios after a couple years. They come out with radios that are more money with the same features, and I'm just not a fan. And that FTX1 is a sweet radio. They just really need to polish it. And Dave, yeah, I know they're trivial, but my whole thing is, if I'm giving you $1,900 for this radio package and it's not finished, why should I buy it?
Yeah, I agree with that. And you can do fusion on 10 meter. People try anyways. And some people make I've never made a contact on 10 meter. I've heard people and I've seen them show up on my radio, but I'm not going to have my radio sit there all day. Let's see, you know, hoping it'll pick something up. But yeah, it's a love hate with Yaesu, and ICOM does make really good radios too. I still have my 705. I haven't parted with it, and I'm probably still going to use it. You know, if I keep it, I'm going to use it. It's just going to go in a rotation. And D-Star, the thing is, on the 705, I found the D-Star to be harsh, where the HTs, it sounds really nice. So I don't know what they did in the 705 when it, you know, when you transmit D-Star, the whatever the voice coming out the other side, you know, whoever's receiving you, it doesn't sound that great. But if you use either the ID52 or the TH75, it sounds great. So I don't understand that one. Maybe I just have some settings wrong.
D-Star has been around a long time, WIDX. A lot longer than all the others. T25 has been out there all along. We had Type 1, and now we have Type 2 P25, and apparently that's allowed now, too. But as far as DMR, I think that's probably the silliest thing in the world. Sure, you've got 12,000 talk groups, but you only got two slots. That means only four people can converse at one time, or one-on-one, right? So if you've got two people conversing on slot one and two people conversing on slot two, that's it. Doesn't matter how many other talk groups you've got. If slot one and two are busy, everything else is going to show busy. they need more slots on DMR. I mean, take a look at the commercial industry. They, a lot of the top shops and stuff, they have like 16 slots to play with. That gives them all kinds of space to move around and all kinds of talk groups to make use of. But ham radio, only two slots? Come on. Somebody got to come up with some more slots on DMR to get me interested in it again. When I was on it, I had a great time. Here in Southeast Michigan, we had 14 or 15 repeaters on UHF operating on DMR. But when the guy moved to Florida with his job, the system died. There's still 14 or 15 repeaters out there, but they're not linked up on the Internet, so they're all basically neighborhood repeaters, if you want to call them that. But I got off of DMR, got on D-Star, and I've been having a ball. And there's like nowhere I can't contact as long as I have, I get on a system with the Internet or if I use a hotspot.
Yeah, I don't do much digital, but when I do, I prefer to do D-Star. I got an open spot for Pro, and that's my mode of choice, especially since I can cross-mode most of it. But, again, I don't do a lot of digital. I'm strictly analog.
Well, fellas, I'm sorry. It's just that I had to say my piece about Yaesu. I've been a Yaesu aficionado over, I mean, when I got into ham radio, my first radio was a Tempo 1. And Tempo 1 was, if you took the grill work off the radio to work on the radio, or replace tubes or something, everything on the inside said Yaesu Murzin on it. So that was like Yaesu's first radio. And then they got into the 101 series, and I had the 101E. I had a 101 EE. And an EX. And I stayed within that line for a long time. Bought the 757 GX. Kept that for a while. Bought an FT1, which at the time was the flagship of the line. Nice radios. But that always required some kind of repair. The FT1 did not. The FT1 came, it's kind of funny, the FT1 had ISA slots in it. A lot of their boards were ISA-type plug-in, and it worked well. They had extender boards on them, so you could adjust things if you needed it. Almost never needed it. Everything was a plug-in. I bought the radio from a friend for $1,000. He had paid something like $1,500 on it when he first bought it, and he did not put the FM module in or any of the CW filters and stuff. I added all that stuff and everything worked great. So, but it always seemed like they always needed repair. They always needed to be shipped back. You know, it's a lot. You know, even if you're not paying for the repair, it's the shipping is what kills you because the radio's so doggone heavy. Well, the newer radios are lighter, but still the shipping is comparable to what it used to be. So, get over that. You know, you got to listen to us older guys. We've been there. We've done it. But if I go into another HF rig, it's either going to be a 7100 or a 705. I have a friend here in Westland that has one. Westland. Now he's in Taylor. And another friend that used to live six blocks west of me here in Redford Township now lives in Lakeland, Florida. And he's got a 705, and he loves it. So give it a thought, man. Have a good one. Enjoy. WIRX.
All right. Talk to you later. Yeah. I solved the problem by just having one of each. It's an expensive way to solve the problem, but yeah. I'm not buying any more radios for a little while anyways. They'll be cheaper radios or it'll be, you know, some other novelty or something. I don't know, but I think I'm set for a little bit. So, all right, Dakota, you got to be near where you're at, or are you just sitting there waiting for us to get off? the radio.
I think I'm at his house. I'm pulling up here. John, if you're listening, I think I'm here, maybe. I forgot what he drives.
I think I'm pretty sure he drives a truck, but I don't know. All right, I'll let you guys negotiate. I'll be here. KFADA.
Leave it to Apple Maps to be stupid, but yeah, I found him. All right, I'll be back in a bit. NADBF. All right, I'm back. NADBF.
Welcome back. So we got the toy en route.
Yep, I see John's wire. Got the tuner, and I am going to go home and hoist up the Balin for the Chameleon and run that wire out to the yard, and I'm going to play a little bit of HF today while I'm at it.
I don't know if I haven't checked if we're done with that storm or the residue of the that last storm, but it knocked out. There's this shortwave station in Tennessee. It's on 4.8.48 or something like that. Man, that thing's like 250,000 watts, and it's got a 1-mile-long antenna. And it really disrupted signals up here. Because normally it was just a normal antenna. It was like just like a receiver antenna. You know, like those little tiny shortwave radios. That thing's like coming in F9 or, you know, plus 20. It's really powerful. It's like that's the station I use to test at night to see if I can if the shortwave's working. But it knocked that thing out.
From the solar storm, sorry, I was texting. Boss hit me up at 1:30 this morning to turn on his heated driveway.
You're such a loyal employee.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's expectations, and I have to meet them. So I was adopting switches last night at like 6:30.
Yeah, I mean, it's in my contract too, or my terms of employment, is that we have to be available sometimes for incidents, but they're very generous. If we have to, you know, if for some reason we had to be called in on the weekend, they give us time off and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's how my boss is. He's a good dude. Like I said, there's expectations, but he also pretty lenient on if I'm there or not, or if I take time off. Like next week, I got this week, and then I'm hunting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
KDFADS. Yeah, that gets you away from radio stuff for a little while anyways.
It does, but it doesn't. So it's like 18 minutes from my house. It gets dark at 5 o'clock, so my wife said the same thing. She goes, I'm not even going to see you. And I'm like, dude, I'm literally going to be up early to go hunt. I'll be home for lunch and then head back out, and then I'm home by like 6 o'clock, so I'll still be playing radio. Don't worry. I'm having more fun with radio now than I have in the entire time I've been licensed, so I'm glad I took that little hiatus.
Well, that's good. I mean, your enthusiasm will hopefully rub off on other people, too. It'll get us all motivated to do radio again.
It's tough. I mean, there's always a commitment in radio, right? I mean, I guess you could just sit and talk on the radio, but I'm like a squirrel, and I got to try new things. So there's a financial commitment, and there's a time commitment, and that's two things no one will ever have enough of, right? So, you know, I try to do as much as I can, but I also need to take a step back now because I've been spending money like it's going out of style ever since I got back. But I got enough stuff to play with that'll be good for a while.
Yeah, it's not a cheap hobby, but at least you're not spending it on gaming machines. video cards and all that stuff. I think if I wasn't doing radio, I would probably, like, try to make my own little AI farm or whatever, buying all these, like, video cards, trying to do AI locally instead of using the cloud providers. But it's more cost-effective just to use the cloud providers now, at least for me, and just pay them a monthly subscription and rent their machines.
If you need resources, that's 100% the way to do it, because then you're wearing out someone else's crap. And I already did do the graphics card thing. Remember I got the new desktop with the 5070 Ti in it?
Yeah, you probably got lots of memory, too. You could do some local local AI stuff. It's still slow, but it can use that GPU. It needs memory, though. I mean, memory is like a bigger thing than the GPU, it seems.
So when I bought the box, it came with a 5070 Ti, 32 gigs of DDR5, like 6400 megahertz, like some, maybe 6800, some super fast memory. And then I can't remember what Ultra 7 I have. I'm not disappointed with it. It cooks. It does anything I needed to do. But then I stuck another 32 gigs of RAM in. So I'm running 64 gigs of RAM. I was running 96 on my Legion, but yeah. I mean, I got enough horsepower in there to run two 32-inch 2K monitors on a 27-inch 1080 monitor while playing video games with my camera feed up and Discord and all that crap. So it does everything I want it to do, and play radio on it, which is the other thing. I have WSJT installed on there, which now I got to hook up the 705, and I'm going to have an antenna. It's my do-all. That's where I sit and spend most of my time. That's where my shack's at. So I'm glad I did that, too. So now I don't have to leave my house for the winter.
There you go. Yeah, I'm, you know, with the puppy that I got, she wants to be in there. She's got a little play area. So I haven't been able to be in my office except for work, because during the day she just wants to be out in her little play area, and otherwise she chews everything in my office. But that's my fault because I got boxes all over the floor and stuff. So that's kind of like where I parked myself and where she likes to play and, you know, eventually sleep, but mostly wants to play all the time. I can't wait until she's out of this this biting stage where she wants to chew on everything. But happy puppy, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember the puppy phase with our last dog, the one that we rehomed. He ate everything. It drove me nuts. Anything he could get his teeth on.
Yeah, it's the golden retriever in her or the poodle in her that wants to chew the most, but if you combine the golden retriever's desire to chew and retrieve with the poodle brain that's kind of like us, where they just like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? You know, they want to be intellectually stimulated, I guess. They want to play games and stuff like that. So I don't know what it is, but I've had to rotate through different chew toys. But she's been really good. She hasn't been chewing on people's stuff other than my wife's headphones. She's gone through so many cheap Chinese headphones, the Bluetooth headphones now. I said, don't buy anything expensive for the dog. but she's been good just chewing on phones. She knows what she's allowed to chew on and what she's not allowed to so far.
We just started accumulating so many dog bones and toys and teethers that he couldn't even walk without stepping on them, and that did help quite a bit. Just giving multiple options of different things to chew on that they knew they could chew on, rather than like, how about the baseboard, or how about this chair? I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. But like I said, my other dog, he's 11 and aging fast, it seems like, or at least turning very senile, and I don't know how long it's going to be after he goes that we're going to have another pup, because my kids are obsessed with him.
KFA does. Yeah, just be aware. If you think your kids are going to help with the dog. It's going to be your dog. So whatever you pick out, make sure it's a breed and temperament that you can handle.
I know. That's the other thing. It'll be back to training a puppy, which I don't mind. I just don't have, I'm not home a lot. So that's kind of my wife's dog, or the nanny's going to have to help take care of it. And that's a whole other job. Plus new carpet and all that fun stuff. So I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, it worked out, worked well for me, but then we didn't have kids at the time. What worked well for me was my golden retriever was about 8 years old, and then we got our Cocker Spaniel puppy, and it was kind of like, it was kind of like amateur radio. You have an Elmer, so the golden retriever ended up being an Elmer to the little one, and that really helped, honestly, that really helped with the training, because the golden retriever was not taking any attitude from the puppy and kept her in line, and then they became buddies. You know, at first they, you know, the golden retriever, she didn't want anything to do with the puppy. It's like, no, this thing's biting me, I'm going to stay in the corner over here. But that really helped me train her.
See, my, when we got the puppy with my dog I have now, he didn't want anything to do with it and kind of stayed that way. And then I got to the point where he, like, legit hated the dog and they would fight. So I was not that fortunate to where I had an Elmer.
Yeah, I kind of should have done this with the, when we got a, you know, a new dog. I should have waited, you know, when the, our other dog was eight, I should have, gotten a puppy at that time if we were going to do that. But we did, we, you know, we had kids, and we weren't going to take on another dog. And, but just like when I was 12, when we got our first dog, I think the kids, they turned 12, and, you know, they're 12 and 13, and I figured that was a good time for them to learn how to take care of a dog. My oldest doesn't want anything to do with the puppy. I won't say she hates the puppy, but she just not get turning into a dog person. And then my youngest, she helps out. She feeds the dog, takes her outside, so that's helpful. But most of the time, because I'm, you know, working from home and I have the most time, the dog's really bonded with me.
Well, at least you have one of the two helping you. I'm not going to have any. They try. And, yeah, that's how, my dog was just me and him. He's been around before I had a wife and the kids, and got 2014 I got him. So he's been around with me. Dad overrules everything. But like I said, he's getting senile. The older he gets, the more I'm like, dude, you are regressing into one of the worst dogs I've ever known.
Yeah, that's happened, you know, going through two senior dogs. My golden, she just forgot who I was. She knew I was the caretaker, and she knew I was the one that I gave her food, but I just think she was mentally gone. I think she had a stroke at one point, but she was still, you know, she was still being able to do all of her functions. So, I mean, she lived to, like, 15 years old, so, and that's pretty fortunate for a golden. A lot of times it's, like, 10 to 12 is their life expectancy. And same thing with my Cocker Spaniel. She was 16 years old. So the dog I had as a kid lived to 14, so I've been very fortunate to have dogs that have lived for a while. But, yeah, when they get to that, when they get to their elder age, it's kind of more of a respect thing. You keep them alive as long as they're able to do their functions, but you don't want to just put them down until you know it's time. And every owner's got to make that decision themselves. There's no, like, right or wrong time.
The biggest downside of being a pet owner, you have to make that inevitably, most of the time at least, you have to make that decision at some point. I was telling you the other day, he's having a hard time going to the bathroom, and he still having a hard time going to the bathroom. So I don't know what his deal is. I mean, he's old, right? He's 77 in dog years, so he's no spring chicken, but he's having a hard time going to the bathroom. It takes him like a solid minute and a half to go pee. So I don't know if he's got something going on, if he's just getting old and things are wearing out or what, but I've been keeping an eye on that too, because he had several accidents in the house that was like, all right, is this the end for you, dude? Like, is this the end of the road? You can't make it outside anymore? But we'll see what happens. I've been keeping an eye on him.
Yeah, I can't remember if your dog's a bigger dog or not. It's harder with the bigger dogs. I mean, I remember my golden retriever lived in the basement, and I would have to I'd have to pick her up, and she was like 100 pounds, maybe 80. I don't remember. Between 80 and 100 pounds, and I would have to lift her upstairs to take her outside. And I did that for one season, and then I finally said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I'm sorry, puppy, or sorry, doggy. And we had to take her in. So you'll know when it's the right time. It's just, you know, as a dog owner, you'll just kind of have this kind of intuition. Now it's time, you know. And the dog will let you know too. Our Cocker Spaniel, we could tell she was like, I'm done, I'm giving up. You know, she started declining at her end, and we knew it was time. And there are services that will come out to your house. Like, if you don't want to take your dog to a vet, you want to have like a nice little respectful, you know, letting them go. There's some. I forgot the place we used, but they were really good. They came to the house and, you know, we were able to make the dog comfortable and all that stuff.
He's not that big. He's 60 pounds. But yeah, I've been keeping an eye on him, and I know, you know, I'll know when it's time. But the crazy thing is, like, he runs around like he's a 4-year-old dog still. Like, he does laps in the yard. He chases deer. His body is 100% still intact, other than he has a hard time peeing. He can still hear, he can still see. Like, he's just, mentally, he's just turning into a senile, and I say senile as in, he still knows what he's doing, where he's at, who's who, but he just doesn't listen anymore. And I seriously think it's like, I'm 11 years old, what are you going to do, hit me? I seriously think that's like what goes through his head. He just doesn't care anymore. He's just going to do what he wants. He's just a crotchety old man.
That's funny. Yeah, no, if they can walk around and do, I mean, yeah, and if they can see and hear, my Cocker Spaniel is deaf, and I laughed about it all the time, but she learned sign language. I kind of, like, had little sign cues for her, like, come here and all that, and she compensated for it, and the biggest thing was we had to put diapers on her. And that was like, how long can I put diapers on the dog? And then you'd have to, you know, you'd have to clean the diaper. It's just like having a baby. A little bit better, a little bit, I don't know, a little bit easier. I wouldn't necessarily care say that it's like having a baby, but, you know, you can put, you have to have a bin, you have to have a diaper genie and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, how long can you do that?
I've been dealing with diapers the last 5 years of my life, almost six. I am not putting diapers on the dog. That'll be the line drawn.
Well, you put the diapers on when you have to go out, when you have to leave for a while. That worked well, because then you don't come home to accidents all over the place.
That's a little more understandable. See, the worst part about him having a hard time going to the bathroom and wanting to go out constantly now is his whole life, he could, if it was raining, he wouldn't go outside for the entire day. He would hold it all day long until the next day. Same with snow, the cold, like I'd let him out in the morning, he'd get hit in the face with the cold air and turn around. Like, would not go out until he absolutely had to. I never, ever, ever, ever worried about him having an accident. Or if I had to take him out, like, he was great. And now he's just, you know, know. I got to make sure I let him out in the morning. He wakes us up in the middle of the night. I got to make sure I let him out in the afternoon. I got to make sure I let him out before bed. It's like, dude, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he's got some, you know, he's got some kind of cancer inside of him, or if he's literally just old and everything's starting to go.
Yeah, it happens to all of us. You know, we're gonna. It's just your the muscles and stuff can't hold it. You know, there's a muscle that's actually holding all that stuff back. You know, so or whatever. My wife could tell me what the muscle is and all that stuff, but I don't know. It just gets weaker. You know, and then their digestive system gets, you know. It goes right through them. I could tell you the problem with my one dog was she wasn't absorbing nutrients. She was getting skinnier and skinnier, so it would pass through her. Like there was probably something wrong. There probably was something internally wrong with her, because at the end, I think it was just like whatever was going on inside of her was just finally like to the point where it just, you know, you couldn't do anything. And we wouldn't know for sure unless you bring that to the vet for, like, expensive x-rays and all that stuff. So, and most owners don't want to do that. And there's some, you know, some owners, when they're the, you know, they're your baby, they will do that. But there might have been something else you could, some supplement. And it might be something simple for your dog, too. I would maybe bring it to, have you brought your dog to a vet just to, an assessment. You know, you don't have to have them scan them or anything like that.
No, he's due. I haven't taken him in probably a year. I think he needs a rabies booster. But that's where I'm at. You know, he's 11 years old. He's had a good run. I'm not going to take him in for pokes and prods and whatever else. I'm going to leave him be. But yeah, next time I take him in for, you know, his usual stuff. Because, like, he's getting on with life just fine. He's just got to go to the bathroom all the time. So the next time I take him in, I'll bring that up, and we'll see what they say. But they always want to do tests.
Well, I was thinking, you know, just like humans, you can give them a blood test, and the blood test, you know, will have elevated levels of something, and that usually indicates what it may be. And they may give you some trial medication to see if it helps make it better. But, yeah, I never brought my dog in either, so I don't blame you. The only time I had to bring my dog in was she had, like, a cyst on her neck that was just not going away, and it became an open wound. And then we had to get it surgically removed and stitches. And like, but she lived another year and a half because of that.
I know. I got to get him in. Get him his booster and say, hey, this is what's happening. And they'll probably want a urine test, which is fine. And then maybe go from there. But I'm going to run into the gas station. I'm almost home. And then I'm going to get this antenna hoisted up and guide off or anchored, however I'm going to do this. I'm going to do NVIS. I'm going to try to make it as straight line as possible. So I will, I'll hit you up on the node when I get back. Be clear for yours. NADBF.
Sounds good. I'm glad this antenna is working, so it was a good stress test. Talk to you later, KFETA.
Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec.
WHBI. Kilo, Foxtrot 8, Echo Alpha Papa. Mobile. Didn't quite catch that. KF8DAB.
Clean the connector, both sides, you know, the plug and the connector. that also could be contributing.
Anything different or the same?
I think I doubled with you, my bad. Do you have a different radio you can try?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll try the one in the truck. NADFKTMR.
So are you in the truck, or did you take the radio out of the truck?
Right now I'm in the truck. I just wanted to see if this was any different.
Maybe it's just how you sound. Eric, does it sound the same to you?
Yeah, and both of you guys are crackling, by the way. So it may not be his mic, but it sounds like it. So, yeah, you guys both got quieter and more cracklier when you switched repeaters.
Maybe it's the repeater.
Could be. I don't know. But, well, he's still crackling, but you started to crackle, too, when you switched over, so... Something with the Richmond.
Am I any better over here?
You got a key up longer than that. You got to give me a longer sample. But in that 1 second key up, it didn't have any crackle.
Phil, maybe try... You said you could open Mount Clemens from there. Well, not from your truck, probably. But try Romeo.
Okay, stand by. I'm going to come back in and I'll switch over to that. Okay, I'm on Romeo now. Is this any better?
Got a key up longer than that, but yeah, try it again.
Testing on Romeo. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep, much louder. Not much louder, but definitely noticeably louder, no crackle.
Yep, I'll second that. I wonder if Richmond's getting iced up.
Alrighty. Dakota, what other one can you hit from your house?
I'm on Mount Clemens right now. I can hit Detroit, Romeo, Richmond. I can hit the... Mecca 147.2. I don't know if I can hit the Useco machine yet. Well, that's my, I'm looking at my code plug here right now. Pretty sure I can get into Lapeer. I need to try North Branch and Burnside. Yeah, I don't know. What can you hit? You want to try something different? No copy on that one. I'll try to hit you at 146.520.
Okay, I'll switch over now.
I got you. Some jacked up with Richmond. There's tons of static. But you sound about the same. Still kind of low in the audio. So could be a distance thing. Could be, I don't know. But you sound slightly quieter than when we were simplex.
Okay, yeah, I got you about the same. You're quieter than we had on simplex.
Sweep your antenna, too. Make sure that your coax didn't come loose.
NAWRO Richmond, how copy?
I got you loud and clear. Are you coming in on Richmond? Well, yeah, 7 blocks away from the QTH, so I was a little curious there if, because it is coming down here, so, but must be a distance thing or something. I guess it's working okay for now, KWRO.
All right, I just went back to Richmond, and you sound perfectly fine, so maybe it's not the repeater. I'm wondering if he's got a loose coax connection somewhere.
Yeah, it could be. I was only partially listening to your QSO there, but yeah, could be, right?
Fortunately for him, he's got a nice rig expert to sweep it. It'll take him 2 seconds to rule that out or determine if that's an issue or not, because he just relocated in town yesterday, so I don't know, maybe it came loose in the process.
You know, oddly enough, when he was on Romeo, that was the best of them all, I think. But, yeah, let's let him do that. And if you need another data point, I'm over here in Richmond anytime. N-A-W-R-O.
N-A-W-R-O from N-A-D-B-F. All right, I appreciate it. Hopefully he can figure out what the issue is without having to get on his roof. But I'm sure we'll do another test here shortly. So thanks for standing by, and I'll talk to you in a bit.
FYI, that 778 does handle mic gain. If you hold the function button down, it's going to the first set of radio settings there. It's under MIC, and it's just 3 levels, 1, 2, and 3. I'm guessing it's low, medium, and high. Okay, a big BLX.
I hear you, but you're still crackling.
Yeah, I'm not sure then. Sweep looks good. I was at like 1.1.
And this is a 778?
Yeah, this is 778.
Maybe Eric was right. Maybe you got to clean the contacts. You had that radio for a bit, right?
Yeah, I've had it for a bit, and then the guy who I gave it to for a while, who knows how, you know, what he did with it.
Hey, thanks, Alex.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got one sitting right in front of me. Like I said, it does have that mic gain to it, but I have also had an issue with my microphone. I actually had to open up the actual microphone itself, and one of the wires where it comes out of the microphone there in that little crimp where it's supposed to, you know, bend so that it doesn't mess up the wires, did work one of the wires there, so it was kind of shortened out in there. So there's an option right there too that might be the problem. I had the same thing happening.
Break out the screwdriver, Phil.
Yeah, I'll have to do some digging on this. I appreciate the feedback. All right, Dakota, let me do some digging on this and some cleaning and checking it out, and I will I'll reach out to you later, see if it's any better or worse. K8TMR, be clear.
All right, good luck. I'll be here. N8BBF. Yep, that's better. No crackling. Still kind of quiet, but I think that's just, like I said, you're just not a, you're not a loud radio. You don't scream into the mic like most people do, but there's no crackling left. NAWRO, I don't know if you're still out there listening, but what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Sounding good now. Was that on the Richmond? I didn't notice. I got the dashboard up. Go ahead again.
Yeah, currently on the Richmond. testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, right at the key up there, there was some popcorn, but as you continue transmitting, it cleared right up. So, I don't know. Dakota?
Yeah, I heard the same thing. Were you by chance touching your coax?
Negative.
It's weird. I'm trying to think what else it could be.
Are you still hearing it now?
I haven't heard it the last two transmissions.
Me neither. I think you might have it. I don't know what that first popcorn was. I don't know what's going on, but you may have it. N-A-W-R-O.
Okay, hopefully that did it. Otherwise, my next option is climb back on the roof and check the connection there. But I made pretty certain that that was good and snug when I came down.
No, I'm sure this is not an antenna issue. If it was an antenna issue, I think it would be consistent.
Agreed.
Okay, leaning more towards radio or mic issue.
Yeah, that would be my wager. It's fine now. It's just that one transmission had some popcorn in it, so I don't know if you're just holding the mic a certain way or what.
All right, well, as long as it's sounding okay now, I guess I'll just keep an eye on it. If it continues, then obviously probably going to have to scrap the radio and get a different one.
That's a Chinese radio lottery. You don't know how long they're going to last.
Right. Like I said, you know, I had it, you know, a while back and then, you know, gave it to that guy at work. He had it for who knows how long, probably a year, and I don't know what he did with it. And then I ended up getting it back from him and figured I'd throw it down here. So who knows, maybe he did something to it or it's just had its time.
What power level are you on?
I'm on high, which I think on this one, what is it, 20 watts?
25, I think. But, yeah, like I said, you've not had that noise since that one transmission. So whatever you did, I think it fixed it, whether it was a combination of cleaning the contacts and tightening the coax or just cleaning the contacts. But I think you're good now. That was the first time I ever heard you sound kind of scratchy.
Okay. Yeah, this connector I got on the end of this coax, it's almost like it's got like a little burr on one of the threads. So every now and then it feels like it's completely seated, but it's not. After I went through and cleaned the contacts and all that, put the coax back on, I noticed it, and then I tightened it a little further. So hopefully that was it.
Sound good over here.
All right, appreciate it.
My bad, I was texting Sean. I'm probably going to buy another amp off of him.
What's
250 watts per channel, baby?
You got an 80-watt UHF amp that I'm going to add to the shack here, so then I'll have UHF, VHF amps, and then eventually I'll buy a HF amp tuner combo.
Should be able to hear you from here.
On Simplex?
Yeah. If you swing your house this way, you might be able to get me on Simplex. Who knows? You know what I'm running, right? I just got the 2x4 in my gutter. So it's kind of a pseudo base antenna.
I can call you on 2 meters if you want, see if you can hear me.
Yeah, let me know what, give me a second, because I got a lot of I got a really high noise level on some of my VHF Simplex channels. Hang on, let me check them real quick. All right, I'm on the hub too, so if you want to just let me know frequency, I can listen over there.
Hey, I'm going to jump off for a bit. Appreciate you guys' help, and I'll jump back on later on. KTMR.
No problem, man. I think you're good now, so hopefully it stays that way. NADBF. You try 146.520. I got a pretty high noise level on all my VHF. Give it a shot. All right, let me hook up my amp, and then I'll call you over there. NADBF.
Okay, this is Tim ADHS.
Hello, Boxtrot 8 Echo Alpha Papa. How is everyone tonight?